Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'm glad you're here. My website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. Don't forget all the other things you can do at my site, including you can get motivated. There's a motivational minute link there on the right. Just click on that little button that says motivational minute, and there'll be something for you to read in about a minute, and I think it'll get you excited and revved up, maybe give you a thought to help you get through the day. And that's a real quick one right there on the homepage. And then there inside, there are lots of things. Of course, don't forget the homepage. The front page, a lot of current articles, up-to-date articles from a lot of our experts, and also some surveys on small businesses there, lots of things that will help you to not only run your and grow your small business, but also to start your small business, archives and lots of other things. So check that out when you get a chance. Doug Barry is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Doug is the Director of Marketing and Communication at the U.S. Commercial Service, part of the Department of Commerce. He's an old friend of ours, and he's here to help us broaden our marketing horizons. Doug, welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks, Jim. I could use a motivational minute now. I haven't had my coffee, and it's Friday morning.
Well, go to my site and read the motivational minute there. I think you'll enjoy it.
Well, maybe we'll give your listeners a motivational few minutes here with some talk about how to expand their markets outside the country.
You're the king of Segway, Doug. that's the thing we want to do because, you know, one of the things that's happening more and more every day, and I want you to give us, I think you may have some stats on this, is the adoption of exporting, the inclusion of exporting into the marketing mix, into the business model of more and more small businesses.
Yes, I think that's right. I think that a lot of small businesses are starting out these days with a international game plan that no longer is the domestic market their goal, but they really need to be in multiple markets at the same time.
Right. Well, and the truth is that many of them, without realizing it, are already international business people if they have a website that sells anything.
It's true. And they're also international business people if they are selling to larger companies that are doing international business abroad. And they are probably more knowledgeable about cultural differences that exist outside the country because they're probably selling or may be selling to customers who are Hispanic Americans or African people from Africa and from other countries that make up this wonderful multicultural nation of ours.
Right. You know, one of the most interesting and almost ironic examples of U.S. companies, a small business exporting a product. And I learned this from your commercial services folks, Doug, a couple of years ago. There is a company in Tennessee, a small business in Tennessee, that makes salsa. And their first exporting venture was to sell Tennessee salsa made in Tennessee in Mexico in the grocery stores in Mexico.
Who would have thought?
And they're being successful. How about that? That's like you and me selling fortune cookies in China.
Right, or coal to Newcastle, right?
Exactly. Or one more, just one. Oh, okay, no, I had one more, but I won't use that one.
Speaking ice of, to the Eskimo.
That was the one I was going to. I passed on that one, Doug. Hey, what? Speaking of China, that's a big. It's really silly for me to say it's a big market. It's huge. It's monstrous. It's what do they got? A billion people over there?
Over a billion now. I think
over
it's 1.2 billion. Yes.
That's a lot of French fries. That's a lot of cell phones. That's a lot of whatevers that they. And many of those people don't have a lot of the things that you and I take for granted as a consumer, as a member of a consumer economy. But the Commerce Department is really trying to open up China to American exports, aren't you?
Yes, we are. And of course, one reason is, as you've just said, it's an enormous market with a great deal of potential. The other reason is we have a big trade deficit with them now. We're certainly importing more of their of the manufactured and consumer goods that they make than we're selling them, and we would like to make that trade relationship a little more equal.
We're not alone in that area, are we? There are a lot of countries that are
running
a deficit with China.
They're all pursuing the same thing. And, you know, now with China, a member of the World Trade Organization, as of a couple of years ago, agreeing to abide by rules of international trade, and there's quite a bit of pressure being placed on China now to make their currency non-pegged against the U.S. dollar so that it would float more freely, and this means that it would find its true value, which would be probably higher than it is now against the dollar, and that would allow us and our competitors, of course, to sell more to them because their currency would be more competitively valued.
Right. That's one of the big sticking points right now, isn't it? Because when their currency is pegged to our dollar, when our dollar goes down and makes our goods more valuable and more affordable, I should say in Europe, it doesn't. That same phenomenon doesn't happen, and that same dynamic doesn't happen in China.
True, because it is pegged to the dollar.
Yeah.
But even still, there are a lot of small American companies that are doing well there now. And I think that the latest statistic I saw showed that probably 86% of all of the U.S. companies selling to China now are small and medium-sized enterprises.
Hmm. Wow.
And there's one interesting company in California that we at the U.S. Commercial Service have been helping lately. And they make a waterless urinal.
Excuse me?
A waterless urinal. That's right. You heard it first on this show.
How about that,
ladies and gentlemen?
We break all kinds of sophisticated news on this show.
We do, and I don't want to go into graphic detail.
Thank you so much.
On this product, Jim, because it is early in the morning for us. But you can imagine, with 1.2 billion people in the country, all having to go at least several times during the day, the potential market for this product is enormous.
Wow, that is. And where is that medicine made in California?
It's made in California. The company is called Falcon Water Free Technologies. Hmm. They have a patented waterless urinal
system.
It's a small business.
Good for those guys.
They've developed this technology. And again,
Doug? I want you to tell me, I want you to put me in touch with those people. I'd like to get them on my show.
I think that would be excellent.
Do that. Make sure I have that. Folks, we're going to get those people on the show because I want to hear about their technology. I want to hear. Don't you want to know more about this? I think
I want to buy one.
They want to know more about this waterless urinal. Seriously, we'll have
portable.
To work that out. Stand by. 20 after. I told you we'd have fun when Doug Barry joined us. You don't get this on any other show, folks. I'll be right back.
When you're down and troubled.
We're back. It's 23 after.
And you need.
I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. By the way, that motivational minute that I was talking about, today's motivational minute is called Generals and Rabbits. Generals and Rabbits. If that doesn't make you want to go there and click on that button, I don't know what else I can do to make you do that. But anyway, I think you'll enjoy it. It's a fun little piece that I wrote. And so check it out. Generals and Rabbits. That's the motivational minute at on the homepage of my website, jbsba.com. Speaking of websites, Doug Barry is our guest. He's Director of Marketing and Commerce and Communication at the U.S. Commercial Service, which is a division of the Department of Commerce, a very important division, a very useful division for small business owners. If you haven't availed yourself of their services yet, ladies and gentlemen, I encourage you to do this. You know, for several years, I've been encouraging you to begin your education process on what it would take for your company to become an exporter. And the best place to do that is on this website that Doug's going to give you right now.
Yes, Jim. The main website is www.export.gov. And if you want to know more about doing business in China, it's export.gov/China. And if you want to talk to a real live person Monday through Friday during regular business hours, dial toll-free 1-800-USA-TRADE, T-R-A-D-E.
1-800-USA-TRADE. And folks, let me say this. If you're not doing export today, I don't want you to do export today. I want you to start getting educated. I want you to learn about it. And that's one of the things, Doug, I know you got a lot of good stuff there that helps people go from crawling to walking to running in this business, don't you?
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the greatest needs of small business, and they've told us this, is they just need more information about the export process, about markets that might be good for them to sell into, and then about specific buyers that they might be able to contact. And these are the three areas in which we are strongest, and you can start today by looking at the website, calling that 1-800 number, or contacting your local U.S. Export mm-hmm. Assistance Center. This is our local offices. We have 107 of them throughout
the
country.
Can we find where those are on your website?
You can, absolutely, by calling that 1-800
okay.
number.
Okay, give us that website again, usatrade.com?
usatrade.gov. And for China, it has a slash and then
right.
China right after it.
Okay, I want to ask you a question about that company that we were just talking about, that California company. Here's my question. They have technology. They have pretty unique technology that's
yes.
very valuable. I could see where that, I mean, let me know when they're about to go public. I think I want to buy a couple of shares, try to get it on the IPO. But one of the things that some of my Wiseacre audience members are already thinking, well, they're already way ahead of us, and they're thinking, well, how are those guys going to keep from getting ripped off when they go to China? So that's my question to you, Doug.
Yes. Well, and this is very important for Falcon Water Free because their first sale earlier in the year, which we at the U.S. Commercial Service helped facilitate for them, was $3 million. That was the initial sale of their cartridges, which is part of the technology that they have patented. And as you have alluded to, there have been some serious difficulties in China that U.S. business people have had with having their technology illegally copied and their trademarks also encroached upon.
It's the stuff
and
of legend.
Yes, they really have been. And, you know, some people will tell you that their reverse engineering is getting so good that within days of getting a hold of a prototype, they can create something similar, not as good, but remarkably similar to the U.S. technology and product. So I think the higher end the product is, the better, the easier it is to protect it. The engineering that goes into it and the complexity of the American technology makes it difficult for anyone to copy it. So that's number one to consider. The second thing to consider is that we have people on the ground in China whose job it is to monitor intellectual property protection. And at the first sign that there is illegal things going on, our people at the embassy and the consulates throughout China will contact their Chinese government counterparts and immediately begin advocating to try to get the pirate shut down or otherwise stopped.
And that was all part of the WTO admission, wasn't it?
Yes,
they had to agree to certain rules. They had to work and play well with others.
Right. And then even on a bilateral basis, the U.S. government and the Chinese government, there's a lot of back and forth about this, and we've extracted a lot of promises, and we've seen some action. It's certainly the environment is much improved today than it was a couple of years ago.
Doug, let me stop you for a second. I got 30 seconds. Tell us about Asia Now.
Okay. Asia Now is a regional promotion program that we have at the U.S. Commercial Service, and it's designed to help a small company in the United States enter multiple markets in Asia at the same time. In other words, if you want to go to China, we will say fine, but we'll also cooperate with our other officers in the area to give you opportunities to sell into nearby markets like
Indonesia,
Korea, Vietnam at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Hey, folks, Doug Barry, go to his position in my brain trust. You'll find a link to not only archives that we've done with Art Doug in the past, but also that website, usatrade.gov. But if you forget that, find his name in our brain trust. Doug Barry, thank you for being here. Good job today, as always.
Thanks, Jim. Have a good weekend, everybody.
We'll see you next time. Doug Barry, folks, he's with U.S. Commercial Services. He'll be back. I will be, too, with Elise Benin right after these messages. The show is brought to you by IBM.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.